Well, we give each and every one a warm welcome this evening. My name is Marcel LaSalle, and I've been asked to share my testimony of how that God saved me. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My background is Roman Catholicism. I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, born in Montreal. And I was taught that when I was sprinkled with a few drops of water, 24 hours after I was born into this world, that made me a Roman Catholic and therefore made me a Christian. A teaching which is not only not found in the Bible, but is contrary to what the Bible teaches. Times were different back then. Grade 1, 6 years of age. Now you know you can calculate my age. We had the ritual, a religious ritual called the First Communion. And this was the proof that now we had just supposedly fed on the body of Christ, that I was a real Christian. And we had, the following week, another religious ritual called Confirmation. And in this ritual, the cardinal gave us a little slap on the face. That was part of it. It's symbolic that now we were soldiers for Christ. So we went to Mass. We went to church. It was like a little cathedral, me and my two brothers. I had a little sister when I was 11 years of age, but long before she was born, we went to church. That was the way, that's the way my parents have done things, and my grandparents and my great-grandparents, and we were the fortunate ones, Roman Catholics. All Protestants were going to hell because we had been told that we were members of the oldest church, the one that went to the first apostle, Peter, the first pope who had been a pope. Again, I say, these teachings are not found in the Bible. They're contrary to what the Bible teaches. Going to school in Montreal, 700 schools in the city of Montreal, all under the authority of the Montreal Catholic School Commission. Catechism was taught every day. 50 minutes a day. And the priest would come once a month. And we heard a lot about hell. We heard a lot about sin. And about God's holiness. And to stop sinning. And the fear of God was put into us. At 6 years of age, in 1950, I remember the priest coming to the classroom when I was in grade one. And drawing a clock on the blackboard, a large clock with a pendulum. And of course, there was no hands on the clock. The minute hands and the hour hands were not on the clock. And he said, you know why that is, boys and girls? Because in eternity, there's no time. Well, that's scriptural. It's true, there's no time in eternity. But he said, the pendulum on the clock never stops. Tick. Talk. Tick, talk. You know what that symbolizes, boys and girls? If you go to hell, that means you will always be there. You'll never get out. Always be there and never get out. And we were at that time, of course, swallowing every hook and sinker of what the priest said. We had been taught that the priest, there was a mystical power about him. So this is my background. We went to church, it was like a little cathedral. We didn't understand a thing. The priest had his back turned to us. It was all in Latin, in the front. And, but this little priest, I remember my dad making a knot on his tie in the mirror on Sunday morning, looking forward to the sermon. This little priest could preach. He would get up that spiral staircase going up to the pulpit. And it resonated throughout the whole building about heaven and hell. One Sunday morning, I forget now if I was in grade one or grade two there. There was going to be a collection. And our parents, for the little African boys and girls who were starving to death. And our parents would give us pennies and nickel and dimes, and the rich one, even quarters, to take to school for this collection for those poor little black African boys and girls who were starving to death. And the priest said, on your way to school, boys and girls, the devil will come along and tempt you to take that money and go to the restaurant and buy bubble gums and candies. And if you do that, you will go to hell. So, dear friend, this is my background. This is the 1950s. This is, times were different than they are today. Basically, what I had when I left home, after grade 12, after high school, when I joined the Air Force, was a religion of fear. I'm thankful for my mom and dad. They taught us right from wrong. There was discipline in my home. We were known in the neighborhood as the religious family. Every night of the week, Monday to Friday, at 7 o'clock, we would be out playing baseball or kick the can and hide. That was the game that we played a lot. But at 7 o'clock on the radio, there was the rosary with Cardinal Leger. So my dad or my mom would open up the door, Marcel, John, James, it's rosary time. We didn't like it. We were the only family that did that. We had to go in the house and pull up a chair and from 7 o'clock to 7:15 say the rosary. It was embarrassing. We didn't like it a whole lot. That's why we were known as the religious family. So when I, after high school, when I joined the Air Force, basically what I had, all that I had, was a religion of fear. The fear of perishing. I had never heard the gospel. The remedy that God has provided. It's ritualism. You know, and you know, in Revelation chapter 12, we read that there is a devil, the enemy of our souls, who deceives the whole world. And what a master deceiver that he is. Under the umbrella of Christendom, we have Roman Catholicism, with Protestantism and Greek Orthodox and Russian Orthodox and so on. Roman Catholicism with over 900 million followers. And, well, by the time I left home, no one could tell me that I wasn't a Christian. I believe I was a Christian. I'd gone to church all my life. No peace. No rest. And, of course, after I joined the Air Force, I went to the School of English for 3 months to learn how to speak English in St. John, Quebec, transferred to Clinton, where I went into electronic, and on every Air Force base in Canada, I believe every military base in Canada, there is a little Roman Catholic chapel and a little Protestant chapel. And of course, I learned the ways of the world back then in Clinton. We had a major exam, it's like a provincial exam every 2 weeks in order to advance on our course. And there was a wet canteen on the base, and of course, Friday night and Saturday night, but the boys went to drown their sorrows if they had failed the exam or to celebrate. And that's when I learned how to have a drink of beer, 2-3 beers. It never agreed with me. I was always sick the next day. So that was life in Clinton. I remember one Sunday morning, but I would get up on Sunday morning, even though Mom and Dad were not there to push me to go to Mass. I went. That's, oh, well, yes, I had to. One Sunday morning, I remember I wasn't feeling very well, a little bit sick, and dragged myself to Mass, and thinking under my breath, I hope that the priest is not going to flap his gums too long this morning. I'm not feeling very, very well. Afterward, walking to the Mass hall, this thought came across my head. Well, Marcel, you know what? You're not such a bad fellow after all. You've gone to Mass this morning. You got out of bed. You made the effort. God saw that. Look at all your Protestant buddies. They're still all in bed, hungover. You're not such a bad fellow after all. I would have these thoughts. No, God is not going to send you to hell. You're not going to end up in hell. And I remember crying. I'm so by myself. All by myself, walking to the mess hall. God, please don't ever send me to hell. Oh, what a miserable life I was living. I mean, I didn't realize it. That's what I was in, religious bondage. Eventually, as the years went by, in order not to lose my sanity, I threw it all away. What the scriptures teaches, what the word of God teaches, is that when you're young, your heart is tender. But as you get older, the human heart, with the deception of sin within, becomes harder and harder. I was no different. I was no exception. By the time I reached 30 years of age, I took my family. I took my family to church on Sunday morning. That was the way it was done. You gave the good examples to your children. You took them to church. One Sunday morning, I remember, in Lourdes, the priest said after the mumbo-jumbo was finished in front, "You may all go in peace." And instead of just thinking it to myself, I said it a little too loud. "Thank God we can get out of here." Well, my wife, of course, Helen, heard it. And we had a little conversation outside, not in front of the children. "You shouldn't have said that." I said, you're right, I shouldn't have said that. "You're right. There's something wrong. I don't know what is wrong. I can't put my finger on it. But there's something that doesn't add up. I don't get nothing out of it. You know where I was this morning? I've got to be the biggest hypocrite here in church this morning. You know where I was this morning? I was 800 miles away in the Montreal Forum, enjoying that beautiful goal. Got Guy Lafleur score last night. One of the skills of that player. I've never seen a hockey player who can feather a pass like he does. And I was enjoying that goal this morning. Oh. Well, Helen went into it. My wife went into a little panic. A friend of hers had been after her to join this charismatic prayer group, which was interdenominational. A lot of Pentecostals, a few United Presbyterians, supervised by a Catholic nun. And Carol Cadu had been after Helen to join that, to go. And so Helen went with Carol Cadu to this charismatic prayer group. And well, I said, "That's wonderful. If you know, if that's what turns you on, great." I had a little business, electronic business, repairing televisions, and so on. My basement was half full of color TVs and radios and sound systems. And Helen came back one night with a smile. And, it was an hour and a half on Wednesday night. I was wondering, what's going on? Like, you know, is there a cult that she's getting involved into? But it couldn't be because it was supervised by Sister Isabel. So she met friends. Here it is, by the grace of God. This is how God works. There was a man named Bruce Muirhead, a Pentecostal graduate from a Pentecostal Bible college. He had just graduated, and his wife, Claire. When I look back today, now, these were the only two genuine born-again believers in the whole group. And his exercise until they positioned him to a parish somewhere in the Maritime was to go to the charismatic prayer group and bring the gospel. That was Bruce's exercise. And so it wasn't long until I met Bruce. They were invited into our home, and so Bruce asked me one night in my home, point blank, "Marcel, have you ever found out that your sins are taking you to hell?" You see, my addiction at that time, by the time I was 30 years of age, was self-righteousness. There's a lot of things I had a long list of things that I hadn't done. Well, I was in the Air Force with the boys. Once a month, the boys from Clinton would go to the city of Detroit for a fling, for a weekend, to enjoy the pleasures of sin to the full. And I wouldn't go with them because I hadn't been taught that those are mortal sins. And to die in that state, you would go straight to hell. But later on, see, now I had my own list of, oh, I've gone to church all my life. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. And when Bruce asked me this question, Marcel, have you ever been awakened to the fact that your sins are taking you to hell? I exploded. Well, I was very ignorant. And Bruce very patiently listened to me. Very patiently put up with me. Oh, yes. You've never been awakened to the fact that you're an unbeliever. What, me, an unbeliever? My sins are taking me to hell? I love, you know, I've gone to church all my life. Even when mom and dad were not there to push me to go to church when I was in the Air Force, I went. I've gone to church all my life. What do you think I'm from? From dark Africa as a member of the Zulu tribe or the Titsu tribe? What do you think, I'm a heathen or something? And I peeled him up. Oh, yeah. So Bruce said to me, very wisely, Marcel, God is a just God. And he will never put you where you don't deserve to be put. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. Finally, I like to hear that. Well, he says, then you don't deserve to go to hell. You know, you don't need no Savior. Christ didn't die for you. What? Christ didn't die for me. I was always taught, as far back as I could remember, that Christ died for the sins of the world. I had this knowledge. And I'm in the world. I'm included in the world. Yes, Marcel, but he says, you know what, that's not salvation. Why do you think the Lord Jesus Christ suffered so much on the cross at Calvary to save you from? You think it was a great big beach party at the end of it all? I'll never forget those words. This went through me like an arrow. I didn't know what to answer. It had never been put to me that way. So that night when they left, after they were gone, I said to Helen, what is wrong with us? We don't have a Bible. I'm going to go buy a Bible. And I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Oh, now see, the Spirit of God was dealing with me. I didn't know it. I didn't know it at the time. I thought that in my ignorance and in pride, foolish pride, that, oh yes, I could use this book like I do at work with wiring diagrams and schematics. It's called circuit analysis. It's called troubleshooting. And, too proud to ask where to start to read. I didn't even know where to start to read. I was embarrassed at my ignorance of the scriptures. I had heard about those characters in the Old Testament, Abraham and Moses. Yeah, but I knew we were in the New Testament. I knew that. So I started to read in Matthew. And I would read about a dozen verses every night. I was quite busy, but in one night, in the kitchen, I came across this verse, and I'm on the Sermon on the Mount. And this passage here, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, the Lord Jesus is quoting the Old Testament now, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, now the Lord Jesus is going to teach them the real meaning of that commandment. The law is spiritual. It is holy. It's good. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. And as I read that, and I read it, and I said to Helen, she was in the kitchen, you're not going to believe what I just read. You're not going to believe that. And I read the verse. Well, who's not guilty of that? Who is it that's never done that? I said, I thought the Bible was supposed to help me. But this is not helping me at all. I feel worse every night after I finish reading the Bible. But the Lord was working with me. The Lord was bringing me gradually a long-suffering God was bringing me to the end of myself. First thing there was, this charismatic prayer group, was a retreat. I had gone one night just to listen, see what was going on. And the thing that impressed me with these people is that their prayers were not repetitious formula, like "Our Father who art in heaven," and so on. No. They talked to God like I talked to you. And that impressed me. So there was a retreat, and I met some of the Pentecostals and United and Kendricks. Said, "Come on, Marcel, go to that retreat." This was in the middle of January, 78. "We'll have a good time. We're going to have a good time." You know, there was a priest, an Andy Guinness from Cape Breton, a real able one. Oh, what an able man he was. I had to listen to him. "You got to hear him, Marcel. He's in trouble with the bishop. What a doozy of a speaker that he is." Oh, I said, "Oh, no, we'll go to a retreat." Well, I'm probably working that weekend. And I looked at my schedule, I was off that weekend. So I was sinking lower and lower. It was darker and darker. I had no peace. When we went on that bus that night in the back of the Catholic Church, oh, there was a party mood in the bus. It was everyone, there was few that were singing hymns. There was few that were telling jokes. Everyone was giggling and laughing. I was the only miserable person on the bus. And that night, the priest spoke on a board. He spoke like trying to describe the love of God. What the love of the Father is that goes towards the Son, and the Son reciprocated that love back to the Father, and it was bigger than the whole universe. And then he read that verse from Isaiah, and Jehovah, that's God the Father, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now this is the Bible. This is scriptures. And by the grace of God, I saw it that night, that God had actually done that for me, had taken care of my sins when he put them all on the person of his Son. I was overwhelmed. I was totally overwhelmed. And that Friday night, by myself in that little room, I did something that I had never done before in my life. Something that I had never had the desire to do. I got on my knees. And I thanked God for his Son. And I believe I got saved that night. This was a Friday night, and I believe it was this. I'm not sure which Friday night it was in January. Probably the second or third. So I was really overwhelmed with the love of God. And oh, I had that verse. And 48 hours later, first back shift at the mill, Sunday night. So we changed in our locker room into our work clothes. The mill was running smooth, wide open. And the shift millwright, Derek Curley, and the shift oiler, Arnold McFarlane, are shooting the breeze in the millwright shop. Blah, 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 blah. "How was your weekend? Did you watch the hockey game last night?" Blah, blah, blah. I couldn't keep it in. You see, that's the thing. See, I didn't know what I had, but the burden of my sins was gone. And so that's the way I spoke back then. Just a baby in Christ. Innocent. Saved for 48 hours. "How was your weekend?" I said, "The love of God is really something, isn't it?" Both looked at me. "Marcel, don't tell me you're going religious on us." Poor Derek Curley has committed suicide in 1999, the poor man. I really like that fellow. "Don't tell me you went to those crazy hell, fire, and brimstone baptists this morning." I said, no. I found out Friday night that my sins have been taken care of. But see, at that time, I didn't know anything about the eternal security of the believer. I only thought it was all the sins that I had committed up to that point in time. But what a relief. What a relief to have that burden gone. This salvation, this so great salvation, dear friend, it gets better and better. As you keep on traveling on that narrow road here on your way to heaven, it gets better and better. And this, of course, spread throughout the whole mill like wildfire. "Marcel's going religious. You won't believe it. Of all the people in the mill, Marcel's gone religious. Yeah, Doug McPherson, he came back to me. Doug McPherson, my foreman, asked Derek, what happened to Marcel? He sarcastically, mockingly, he found Jesus. Oh, that was a big joke. It was a big joke. George Daly, good friend of mine, who was so much help to me in my Christian experience, heard about this. The following Wednesday, he approached me in a motor control center. Came straight to the point. Marcel, he said, are you saved? I said, George, all I know is that Jehovah, God the Father, had laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. That's my sins. That's my sins. They were taken care of at Calvary. He pulled his little black New Testament out of his pocket and opened it up to Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. I'm reading it. He's holding it in my face. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. That verse literally jumped in my face. And I received the assurance from God's word of my salvation. I went to the charismatic prayer meeting that night with Helen, telling everybody, I must have looked like an idiot. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Well, here's how the enemy works. Here's how the enemy works. Oh, Marcel, there's been a moving of the Holy Spirit. They said, oh, yeah, you've been. It's wonderful. But that evening, after everybody was left, Sister Isabel, with a couple of more people there, approached me and said, Marcel, it's wonderful. You see your exuberance but you're not actually saved, per se. You can't really say that. You're in the process of being saved. I said, no. I've got that verse. For by grace ye are saved. God doesn't say I'm being saved, I am saved. I would never let go of that. No, you're wrong. I've got God's word here. God's word says I am saved. So that's, dear friend, tonight, if you come to Christ, if you agree with Christ's verdict, if you humble yourself, proud sinners don't get saved. That's what was my problem. I was too proud. I had to remember telling God that no matter what his word would say, even if his word told me that it was Jonas that swallowed the whale instead of vice versa, even though I don't understand it, because it's your word, Lord, I will agree to it. Yes, you can't lie. And dear friend, the moment that you acknowledge what God says to you about yourself, that's repentance. Only then will God reveal, open up the understanding of your mind and heart, and reveal himself to you.